The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 95.1 FM, 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly fantastic Gemma Fairclough-Haynes.
Hiya. Didn't mention that we're in a new place.
Sorry?
We're broadcasting in a new place.
Are we?
You told me this.
Oh, 95.1, yes, yeah. Until recently, we broadcast on 100.2 FM, which we still do, and 100.2 FM goes out in South Kent and East Sussex, and now we're broadcasting also on 95.1. What we've got is a bigger transmitter, basically.
Oh, right.
Yeah, with two frequencies, so it now means you can hear us on your wireless set in East Kent as well. So we've got most of Kent and Sussex covered in terms of FM, and then for everybody else, you can watch or listen through your telly on free server at 277 or online through my website. You can also listen through half a dozen other websites as well. Channel Radio website, the Syncport Radio website, Sound of Spitfire website, dozens. You can't get away from us. We're everywhere. Ubiquitous or whatever it is. Yeah. Cool. I'm going to do a couple of things and then we're going to talk to our next guest. I Trust Assure, the Speak Up Specialist. This is an app that you might be interested in as well. There's a bit of a thing there.
The app specialist on this program today.
I Trust is what they call a speak up app. Mm. Initially it was targeted as a whistleblowing app. Mm. But it's developed from there, and the app is a fantastic app. It can actually translate just about every language on the planet. Mm. And basically employers give it to their employees so that they can raise issues, and they can be health issues. They could be whistleblowing issues. I was talking to Nick, whose app it is, yesterday. He was going, we've now introduced near misses. Oh, what's a near miss? You see, if you work on a building site and somebody drops a brick and it just missed you, you can report it, basically. You don't have to wait for it to hit you, which is a good idea, yeah. But more than anything, it's a communication app. Yeah. It's a way for employees to communicate anonymously, if they wish, about things that are happening in their workplace. Yeah. And that's an important thing to be able to do. Yeah.
I definitely recommend having a coffee with Nick Inge. He's very interesting. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Just send him a message. I'll find him on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So what else have we got? Oh, Jules. Yeah, right, fine.
Hey, Jules.
It's a paella. Yeah, okay.
So I manage one of mine whilst you're having a look.
Yeah.
So we've got classic cars at Kenwood. Is this Kenwood, beautiful Kenwood space?
Yeah.
So it's classic cars, campers, bikes and scooters welcome. Third Sunday of every month, 10 till 12 midday, £5 per vehicle. You do need to pre-book, but do so by calling 01622 814 187. You get bacon rolls and veggie rolls too that are available.
Absolutely.
Kenwood's a brilliant charity supporting those members of society who've struggled with
addictions. It's a residential.
Are you a chairman of that?
I'm the chairman of Kenwood Enterprises, which is the money making side of it, but I'm also a trustee of the full charity. Kenwood is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions, and therefore is incredibly expensive to run. So we need lots of loot. And the Classic Car Show, it's the last one of the summer. We'll be back next spring with them again, but it's fantastic. We've got a massive turnout of really interesting vehicles, so do get down there. It's really worthwhile,
and it's a beautiful venue.
Yeah, and you can get your tea and coffee and cake and your vegetable bacon roll. Who comes up with these things? I think you've read this, but I'm going to read it again because she's lovely and I just want to. Tracy Ferguson. Hi, Gemma, Paul and guests. I'm tuned in live. Have a great Business Bunker Show. I think you read it earlier.
You did,
but she's worth a second shout out. She really is. Steph Young. She says, thank you, Paul. Listening in, loving today's show. Would absolutely love and appreciate a Business Bunker shout out. Steph, I'm not sure where she is in the world at the moment. She could be in South Africa or she could be in Canada. She kind of floats between the two. So thank you, Steph. And she has come back and said, oh, by the way, I am listening live. So that would indicate she's probably in South Africa because they're on the same time scale as us, aren't they? And Sarah Marsh Collins says, me too. I think she means she's listening live. not trying to start a political movement or anything. Okay. We got loads of tweets coming in now. I will read some more. But do you know what? I think it's about time we talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Roy Duto. Right, thank you for joining us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you. Where to start with you? I don't know where to start with you. Yeah, I do, but I mean, you probably don't want to start here, but we will anyway. You're a vet.
Absolutely. Amongst many things.
Hold on. I'll turn your mic on and that'll be even better, won't it?
Amongst many things, yes.
Yeah, so you qualified as a vet. Correct. It's not easy qualifying as a vet, is it? It takes a long time.
Resilience and persistence and yes, time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. I don't want to talk about veterinary stuff because I know you're here to talk about lots of other stuff, but it fascinates me. Are you ever in a place where they go, is there a doctor in the house? And there's none. You go, well, I'm a vet. Can I help? Yeah. Well, I think the patient's got distemper. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, the funny thing is I did have a medical degree as well, but I didn't pursue it.
Right,
I pursued my veterinary degree and went into, you know, private practice. So I admire everybody on the panel here today, especially Chinwe working in the NHS as well.
Yeah.
I've got the privilege of my wife in working in medicine, so we can cover all species.
Absolutely, yeah. I've probably contracted a few things from odd species as well. Okay, we'll gloss over that. Do you still practice as a vet?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Yes, all right. But you're here to talk about something else. You're here to talk about your entrepreneurial work with the 5% Entrepreneur.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So tell us what it is first. Okay. Tell us what you're doing, so, and then we'll go from there.
Before we completely get into this, because you won't stop me talking, so I've been patiently listening. I need to give you guys something. I brought something with me.
Yeah.
And Jules, do not let them have it on their own. So you're listening out here. Here you go. There's some biscuits, there's some cakes, especially stem ginger cookies.
For my friend
Jules, who's I've been listening to her for the last few weeks.
Jules, you snooze, you lose, mate. Yes. You're not getting the. Yeah.
Let me just give you a bit of background to that, because that is really clever. Our guest last week, partway through the show, announced that they'd bought some stem ginger chocolate biscuits for us, and we all went, oh, and she said, but they're not here, because my husband ate them before I came.
So now that's important. You've got to have some treats, haven't you?
Thank you so much for that. She will love that.
It's a pleasure to be on your show, Paul, and thank you for the invitation as well. And through Sarah Marsh Collins as well, I'd like to give a shout out to her as well. So I know she's listening all the time.
Yeah.
So yes, my journey is incredible, and I've been very busy in my short life at the moment. I started when I was very young. I pursued my professional veterinary career after graduating in Australia. I grew up in Southeast London, but my dad had entrepreneurial sort of goals, and we went to Australia. I went to the University of Queensland. I'm very proud of being an ambassador for that university.
Right.
And I then came back to.
Are you good with kangaroos?
Yeah. Oh gosh, I don't know what to do with them. I'm sorry.
Damn. I've been looking. I got kangaroo mane you somewhere.
And I don't eat them either. So I came back to the UK. I've had various jobs through my university life because I was brought up to fend for myself and rely on my parents, which they've supported me entirely. And so my dad's always said to me, learn everything as much as you can. So my diversity in my employment as I was going through university is incredible. But anyway, I think this set me off, because when I came back to the UK to be with my family, I was given the opportunity to go and work as a veterinary surgeon. So I did that for a few years. I've only had three professional bosses, so to speak, in my life.
Right.
And then very shortly after a few years, in the year 2000, I set up my practice, veterinary practice from zero. It's a private practice. It's a shout out to Aspen Vets in Sidcup and Abbey Wood. My team might be listening, I'm sure, unless they're busy.
Are you a domestic vet practice?
Yes,
or
we're small animals, dogs and cats. I specialise in orthopaedics, fixing bones and things.
I thought you were going to say marsupials.
No.
not a lot of calling, Sidcup.
Yeah, I'll be a bit...
for the old warm bat injury.
So we set that from scratch, completely.
Okay.
So I fell into entrepreneurship by default, but I knew I wanted to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And as a result of setting up a practice and putting a lot of capital in and being the lowest paid person in my business for the first 5, 6, 7 years, I'm proud of what we've achieved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then fast forward to 2015, around 2015, 2016, I did, unfortunately, my father passed away. And so in my family, sort of, I'm the oldest and I've got two young sisters, but I'm the oldest and I thought the weight is on my shoulders. The issue was having a successful business and expanding was that I was time poor. I had no time. And at the same time, I had two young girls growing up. They are currently 12 and 14. And I was, people think, you're busy and you're enjoying it. Well, no, it's not enjoyable. And, and even the perception of veterinary income, it's very low. It's not a very highly paid profession. And just like my colleagues in the NHS, you work very hard. And the remuneration is not necessarily what you work for. You work because you have a passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as you, Chinwe, you resonate with that. It's a passion. We have a passion to provide healthcare.
So,
that was my game plan. But then, you have personal goals. Personal goals are important. And I decided that I need to find another way to create income because I was taught by one of my mentors early on that your passion should not be your income. Your passion should not be income because then it becomes hard and it's work. Your passion should be passion. So I said, how am I going to do this with, as we know, cost of living going up and everything changing. My girls, the biggest thing. They're princesses. They're growing up fast.
That'll be shoes then.
Shoes and handbags. You got it.
Yeah.
And I had to find another way to value my time. And in doing so, I met people. And went to events. Events are very important if everyone's listening. Events is where you make decisions. You don't make a decision to go to an event. You go to the event. At the event, you make decisions.
Yeah.
And so I started going. And I fell in the wrong crowd. And this is really important. I fell with people that I thought were really good. Mm-hmm. And they weren't. They were not so the nicest people you want to meet. And, I lost a lot of income, a lot of money, should I say. But I didn't give up. I knew there was a way.
Yeah.
I knew there was another way. In doing so, I found the right mentors now. I've got them. And the situation's turned that now my mentors poured so much into me to learn how to understand financial literacy that we're not taught in any formal education system out there.
True.
We're not. Chinwe, and I'm inspired by your story, Chinwe, as well.
Yeah.
So I now, because I've been poured into so much information, I give back. It's times come where I now give back, and I'm looking to inspire people and also to be inspired by them, to encourage them to be the 5%, that is, to do what the 95%ers are not doing so that you can have what the 95%ers want. And in doing so, go and create multiple sources of income. Invest in yourself, invest in your own development, which is key. And my saying is, you work 9 to 5, that's fine, that pays the bills, but then I work 5 to 9 afterwards as well, because that's on myself and my teams across the world.
Right.
And with the use of technology that we've got access to, and this meeting here today, this conversation for our listeners is so good, because technology, the evolution of currency that's going on, it's due, it's overdue.
Yeah.
And we either embrace it and jump on the bandwagon, or we're going to be the end users and we're going to miss the boat. And currently the major shifts going on in the financial markets, and everyone can leverage. My 14-year-old is learning how to make money from her mobile phone.
Right.
And so anyone can do this. And so I'm looking for people that are wanting to make a change. Carry on doing what you're doing, that's fine.
Mm.
But make the change. Make a decision that you want to find another way that you can then value your time and control your time. And at the end of the day, what's more important? What's the most expensive commodity? It's time. Yeah, that's sure. what we're looking
time
for.
Time is money. Yeah. Someone said that. I don't know who said that, but yeah. time is money.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm a strong, passionate believer in this conversation we've had today, you know, impacting the youth, impacting the school leavers, impacting at the early stages in the educational system. Mm. I feel that, you know, well, I brought some books here, as you know. The very first book, as we were talking with Gemma here, and Gemma resonates with me because it impacted her. In 2017, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And in it, and this is the one golden nugget I will leave here right now before we converse, is the cash flow quadrant. Learn it. I give a whole lecture or mentorship for 1 hour on this one subject. Mm. And that will give you an insight as to how you can leverage this and how you can be on this path that I am, and then obviously reach out and I'll guide you as well. In reaching, you know, don't have a limit on yourself. Don't put limits on yourself. Don't let society put a limit on yourself. You can reach anything you want to reach if your desire is there. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we embrace this and educate ourselves in this area and become that entrepreneurial mindset and develop skills rather than relying on a day-to-day job and somebody paying your wage for you.
Mm. So, right, it's yeah. your do you do a sort of a mentorship program then?
So, as you see, I'm wearing my t-shirt
yeah,
here.
That.
It says mindset is everything.
Yeah.
Whatever we do, I mean, you know, we make money. There's no doubt. And I'm actually doing very well outside my veterinary profession. Mm. And that's the key thing. And that's saying a lot because I worked hard. Yeah. I worked hard to develop the skills and reskill. I've basically done a university degree again.
Yeah.
And what we can now then offer is fast-tracking the next person. If you're ready to commit and go the long distance, not get-rich-quick schemes. These aren't get-rich-quick schemes. Yeah. These require effort and work. Mm. If you want to be, rather than trying to figure it out yourself, which is what I tried to do until I found the right voice, the right mentorship, that's what we offer because who you listen to, who has your ear, has your life.
Matters, yeah.
So listening to the right people, the right advice, the right information, we can put you into the community that can support you, this growth mindset community that will then enhance and enhance your skills. But also we celebrate you. We celebrate your success. It's not about me now. Mm. I'm fine. I'm fine. It's now reaching down and bringing the next person up.
I think it's very interesting because, you know, what you're saying is not really about making money.
Correct.
For me, it's about freedom,
yes.
right? So it's not really what's in your bank account, in my opinion. It's actually being able to make the decision to choose to move on to the next
yes.
level,
correct.
to change your career, to be productive to yourself and to your family and for your, you know, to your community.
Yes.
And that thing you said about being time poor, for me, that's the worst sort of poverty, right?
Exactly.
Because, you know, where you can formulate your day-to-day activities around a career that gives you the time to be able to be present for the more meaningful things in your life, like your family and
the
your
memories,
children and the memories and creating those memories. Because at the end of the day, that's all we've got,
correct.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you can, in the process, deliver something that is meaningful, you know, for instance, a mentorship program or a health solution app that makes a difference
correct.
To the community
correct.
Around you, then yes. it's really a win-win, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not just financial gains
yes.
here. We're talking about making the world a better place,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Exactly. Don't chase the money. Chase who you will become.
Chase who you will
yeah.
become.
Yeah. I think the thing...
Many years ago, I did a survey and a report, and I interviewed a huge number of entrepreneurs. And I was trying to find out what their base level motivation was.
Mm.
And the one that came out least was money.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was so far down the list. You know, there was all kinds of other reasons. It was opportunity. It was personal growth. It was, as you said, Jim Wing, it was freedom. You know, one of the big things was freedom and flexibility. You know, I just want to do what I want to do without anybody telling me how to do it kind of thing.
Absolutely.
That was number one at the top. And it was also creativity, wanting to leave a legacy, wanting to build something. something for the future. Earning money came right down.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing, most of them were rich.
Well, but the thing about that, Paul, is you can actually have that as your priority. It's a bit like that Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
When you have money, isn't it? When you don't have,
yeah,
that's when you're going to focus more on.
Exactly. You know, yeah. There is that bottom level. You're absolutely right, Gemma. That, you know, with Maslow and satisfying core basic needs, it's really difficult to do anything else if you can't pay the electricity
absolutely.
Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. And currently, this is what's going on in the world as we're talking about employment as well. The Great Resignation. You know, things like COVID have impacted that.
Yeah.
The whole employment structure, especially in my veterinary practice, we're having issues of recruitment at the moment.
It's,
so,
it's really difficult.
And then we decided to launch our online pet pharmacy, which is petcounter.co.uk, to help with the bills, the veterinary bills, so people can put their private prescriptions. So we've had to innovate and develop skills.
Yeah.
I never knew how to do all this.
Yeah,
never.
Exactly.
I learned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you a question about something else you said, though?
Of course.
So you spoke about, and I love this, because everyone thinks you go to events and you always meet brilliant people. Of course, we always meet brilliant people. But sometimes, as you said, you fall into the wrong crowd.
Correct.
So what's your tip then for discerning good mentors, not good mentors? How do you know what to do?
So I was actually YouTubing and watching someone that who's now my mentor. I've got three mentors. And I didn't know I'd ever be in that mentorship program. But you know what? I believe in the law of attraction. I was looking for someone, and I found the right person. This person is very credible in the industry, is well sought after, and I'm in his circle. So that's how I realized by mistakes that I've made who the right person was, because it wasn't, you know, somebody that just said, you know, go and follow this person, this one's great. And I did my research, but you know what, even then I realized that certain people I was talking to were amateurs. And how did I become better at it? Well, I read, I listened to audios, I reached out and educated myself. Books like Rich Dad Poor Dad and Think and Grow Rich I read, and as what happened then, I got a better insight into the industry. And when I got into the industry of network marketing and financial literacy, I realized now that I know what else I need to look for. And that's then, and then I reached out and I looked at track record, did my due diligence. And the thing in business is this, you will make mistakes.
Yeah.
But go out and make them.
I think you just hit the nail on the head.
Necessary, isn't it?
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head for me. In so many walks of life, not just in entrepreneurship or starting a business or making money or any of those things, people don't do any research. They don't do any due diligence. They don't just look things up. They take everything at face value and then wonder why it all went wrong.
Well, they're looking at the bottom line. They think the financials. And that's if somebody comes to me and said, look, I want to make 10,000, I have to break that down. You know, start with making 100 a month.
Yeah,
that will be impacting a lot of people out there that are listening right now.
Yeah.
So you got to get the why sorted out.
Yeah.
What is it that you going to do with that?
Simon Sinek book there. Yeah. Start with why.
Sorry, big fan.
Simon Sinek.
You're absolutely right. And this is my library at home. I was just talking to Chinwe here. My library does not have currently any medical textbooks in it. Right. My library is all about personal development because my children are looking at what I read.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. I think at some point it's all about evolution, isn't it?
Yes.
So evolving yourself. And that's not in any classical academic textbook. You have to get out there, read the right sort of books, meet the right sort of people. And sometimes the wrong sort of people, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's those mistakes are almost necessary. They are like growing
the learning process.
It's part of the learning
process.
So it's
part
never, it's never, yeah.
It's interesting. And this is a moot point. And I realize it, what I'm about to say is a bit of a moot point as well, but based on my own experiences, as I told you earlier, I was asked to leave school, and I actually started work when I was 14, so I have no qualifications in anything at all. Not true. I have 50 yards breaststroke. But I walked. I had one foot on the floor. But interestingly, a couple of years ago I went back, you know, when the like Friends Reunited and things like that, where you could start, and now on Facebook there are groups for your old school, and I went back and tried to find the kids I was at school with. I went to an all-boys school, secondary modern, and there were a class of 30. I think I tracked down about 19 of them, yeah. Five of them were in prison. Three of them were dead, yeah. And the rest were wealthy business owners, and not one of them had had a classical academic education. And this isn't a truism across the board, but there's something in this. A lot of people that don't pursue academic stuff because, you know, it's not them and they're not bright enough or whatever way it is, tend to have a more open-ended view on where life is. You know, they don't get trapped in a single view of things because, you know, I'm nearly 70 years old and I still have no idea what I want to do for a living. I have no more idea now than I did when I was 14.
So my daughter is 17 and she wants, she was asking me the other day, you know, when we're talking about sort of career options, etc., and she was saying, you know, she wants to do law. What should she do? And I said to her, so what's your talent? If you find your talent, that talent can, you can be anything you want. You can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, but find your talent. Find, and I said to her, but that's a very open thing because that finding that talent is a journey, you know. So don't become a career.
Correct.
So I don't want you to be a lawyer. I want you to be my beautiful, her name is Ola, my beautiful Ola. Whatever qualities you have, that's who you're going to be, right? It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. You know, I can agree more. I talk about this in the 30-30 program when we talk to kids at school. You know, if you've got a vocational calling, brilliant. Yeah. If you know you want to be a vet, if you know you want to be a hairdresser, if you know you want to be a musician, great. Just do it. Pursue it. Do as best you can at it.
Yeah. And then educate yourself on how to create other income sources, which will be your lifestyle. Like I said, the passion is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think for me, Paul, if you know you want to be a hairdresser, whatever you want to be, but just know you're not a hairdresser. That's not all you are. I think that's the really important thing, isn't it? That there's more to you than that.
That is my biggest thing. Excuse me, I just choked on my Coke Zero.
Is that the biscuits, I think?
That we have, especially in the West, we have this big thing where your job is your person. And it isn't, though. It isn't. You know, I worked out once, I've had 17 different careers since I started work, mostly avoiding before I get found out that I'm no good at any of them. But the fact is that you aren't what your job is. You're a rounded person that does lots of different things. It's one of the things about our culture where, you know, the first thing that anybody says to you is, well, what do you do for a living? And that informs them whether they're going to talk to you or not, kind of thing, you know, because if you turn around and went, oh, I'm a dustman, they'll go, oh, okay, well, I'm not talking to you. Funnily enough, my dad wanted me to be a dustman. He thought it was my intellectual level, and he was probably right. But you're right, you know, we live in a world full of opportunities. There's so many things you could do. And there are so many things that haven't been invented yet that you can do, which is just staggering when you think about it.
Visualizing, you know, your success is important. This is how, you know, even the iPhone or even the glass we're drinking from, that was how it made. Somebody visualized this. And then, you know, if this is a strong part of my day-to-day routine, is to actually shut your eyes and close your eyes for 5 minutes and think and visualize. And once you do that, you know, if you can what you can see in your mind will develop into reality. If you don't know how, you don't know how it's going to happen, but it does. And I've at first I didn't understand all this, but I've had examples and experiences myself going, how did that happen? I was already thinking that might happen, but I didn't know how. So having that vision in what you want to achieve, just like Ola, or you're installing vision in Ola here. The vision's so important, and children have an unlimited span for vision. What happens with society impacting on us negatively, our vision shrinks. And what we want to do is, this is what I encourage people to do. I say, do your dream boards. Put in there what would you do if you had no issues of time and money? And this is where my children can write a bigger wish list than I can. And this is very important to tap in on that in the youngsters. Don't diminish your dreams to fit your income. Increase your income to fit your dreams. That's key.
It's interesting. I might upset a few people here. I might upset you here. In all my life, I've never set a goal. I've never had a goal. And I find goals limiting. If I go, my goal is to do that, I've missed that and that. I'm just an idiot for going, oh, that looks interesting, I wonder how you can do that. So what I have isn't a set of you know, people talk about measurable, definable, targeted goals. Oh, I can't be doing with that. I really can't. I miss so many opportunities. What I have is an overall vision of roughly where I'd like to be sometime. And I have no idea how I'm going to get there.
Perfect.
But I think what you're probably speaking to is curiosity. Again, as our kids grow up, we try to make them stop being curious. You have to, you know, focus on one.
You have to concentrate.
And stuff like that. But actually, just, you know, keeping an open mind and going like, oh, I need to, not to say that goals are bad. And I think that goal setting is important, but I believe you should micro goal set rather than sort of give yourself one big mountain to climb. Or in my case, bring the mountain to Muhammad.
I think it depends on the person. I don't know. I feel like everybody's different. There are those people, sometimes when I give my talks, I talk about this. There are those people who know exactly where they're going to be in 5 years' time, and I admire them because that's not how I see the world. I'm a one foot in front of the other kind of person, but I admire those that can just go straight to that.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, she's a listener. She says, really interesting conversation with Rai. I agree that mistakes are experiences which help us to discover more about ourselves and others. We all make them, and they are only failures when we don't use them as a time to embrace a learning opportunity and as feedback.
I love that's lovely. That's amazing. Exactly.
And Sarah Marsh Collins has said, so true, we allow ourselves to be defined by our job role, by the car we drive, the gym we belong to, yet we're so much more. This is a fantastic conversation with Gemma, Rai, Chinwe, and everybody on the Business Monkey Show. Thank you.
That's why I say be the 5%. If you do what the masses don't do, you're going to have different results.
Right, so what do you think about that? The quote, be the 5%, right? Because there might be some people who will think, oh, who, me? I can't be the 5%. Okay. Who am I to be 5%? What do you say to that?
That's really good. I mean, I think the most important thing here is that you're open to consider options. And I had a chat with my mentor yesterday evening, 50-minute call. And it was one of the, you know, every mentor is a mentee, right? That's one thing. So I'm also sharing my value, but I'm also, being poured into as well. One of the things he said, look, everybody has a chance and a choice every day. I wrote it down yesterday. You have a chance and a choice every day. You have to decide, are you willing to take the chances and make the choices? But everybody is on the same page. If you want inside you to change because you're just accepting what you have, And you're just going day by day, the sort of Groundhog Day experience, right? And you want to break out of that cycle. You just have to take a chance. And you don't know what the result's going to be. But taking that first step into the darkness is the first step that you have to have the courage, like you mentioned, Jane, right? You have to have the courage to take that first step. Yeah. Then we'll hold your hand. We hold your hand. My mentor holds my hand. He holds my hand. I don't know sometimes what to do. But what I do is say, show me, tell me. And that's that coachable, teachable, person you should be.
I was just saying that the word of the year for me is courage. Isn't it? I was just saying it during the break. Because courage doesn't mean you're not scared. You were all supposed to be a little bit scared about it stuff. Yeah. But getting on and doing that thing, despite your fear, for me, is the most valuable thing in humanity. And that's what's got us so far in every single aspect, raising a family, finding that new job, inventing something. Yes. The whole human race is all about courage, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Letting go of something you've got in order to get something else is the hardest thing for any human being to do.
Because
you're looking and you go, well, hold on a minute, why can't I just be happy with this? Why have I got to do something else? Why, but by doing that, you limit yourself, limit your opportunities, limit your entire life. You don't know what you could have achieved.
Exactly. That's the conversations I like to have. You don't know what you can achieve until you just take a step forward. And, you don't want to be in that fishbowl sort of experience. Thinking that's the lid only. You want to be able to expose yourself to an environment that says to you, come out of that fishbowl, get into the ocean, and we'll help you find the way. So my mission really at the moment is to encourage anyone that wants to take that step, or someone that's already an entrepreneur but wants to do better, reach out. I'm on social media platforms everywhere, and we connect. In my business there are multifaceted sources of income. We as you understand, multiple asset classes are important to understand. understand that. Nobody taught me this, by the way. I didn't even know what an asset class was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know how to read my profit loss statement and my accounts. Yeah.
But these and 99 million other people.
I had no idea. Now I understand assets, liabilities, you know, all these things. This is what we want to do, and I want to impact people out there to say, make the change. Yeah. Don't accept what you have. Yeah. That's the only way. The traditional education system and the financial system is so archaic, so medieval, in a way, that we need to evolve.
Why is it that way still, though? I mean,
okay, that's another conversation. Well, the traditional system is to create a system. You know, in the cash flow quadrant. Okay, you need to understand that. We are all on the left-hand side. I've actually did some printouts for you guys. And anyone can go and look at this up in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We don't realize that there's another side for making income and saving time and using time and leveraging. So we are trained and educated to be on the left-hand side of the quadrant. That's our school education system.
You say what that is, because we're on radio, so they can't see.
So we have a cash flow quadrant. Good idea. I forgot about that bit. I do too many presentations live. Four quadrants, ESBI. ES stands for employer mindset, where you're working for someone, exchanging time. S is you're self-employed. You are in the system, working it hard. And that's 95% of the population. 5% of the population on the other side of the quadrant, okay, the other half, which includes business builders and investors, where they leverage people working for you. They leverage systems that run for you. You may have to initialize the system, just like yourself with the app that Chinwe is starting. At the end of the day, you want to now move it forward to somebody else to take responsibility to run that, whilst you use your initiative to set up maybe another entrepreneurial business skill, whatever you want to do. Yeah, exactly. So my this is another part of it. To get onto the right side of the quadrant, to be in the 5%, you need education and mentorship and investment in yourself. Because you're not taught this in any system. This is why this particular subject, I can spend an hour talking about it. It's such a deep subject, because that sets my team up. Whoever joins my business sets my team up to the right mindset. Where's your goal? Like Paul said, when you get into your car, you need some idea where you're going. You may not know exactly where you're going. Your sat-nav has to have some idea, and your sat-nav of life has to have some idea. You may not know the exact destination, but you want to be in the region. And that's what I'm about.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Just to try and answer your question cynically about why education is the way that it is, it's because everything in our society is still geared to the Roman method, of 2,000-year-old method of top-down. Everything. It's a top-down control, which is why our politicians love big institutions like the EU, the UN, the World Health Organization. The bigger the institution, the more control they have and the more top-down it is. The fact that it stopped working about 200 years ago doesn't really bother them a lot. You've got these tick box exercises that if you're going to control a huge range of the population, you've got to have them limited in what they do. We have things like GCSEs, A-levels and degrees that everybody can compete with. If you don't fit into any of those boxes, forget it, you know, go away somewhere else and look after yourself. That's the problem. It is hellishly difficult to herd cats. And dealing with people, if you don't have that structure, is like herding cats. But you won't change anything if you keep doing what you've always done.
That's right. The definition of insanity.
And what you were saying, Roy, as well, to paraphrase Susan Jeffers, feel the fear and do it anyway. Is the only way forward. We could talk about this forever. We're sadly running out of time. Roy, give us a shout out for how people can get in touch with you and find out more about what you
do. If anybody wants to get on this journey with us and change your life and direction trajectory, I'm on social media, on LinkedIn as Ray Dutta, and on Instagram, Ray Dutta 1, and then obviously I've got my Facebook under my name as well. You can email me on raidutta88@gmail.com as well.
Cool. Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've got loads of Twitter going on here as
Thank you, listeners.
Tracy's saying, hold on, where are we? The energy in that studio, the conversation from everyone is fantastic. Gustav and Sarah said 100%. That conversation is so inclusive and enthusiastic. Makes you want to be at the table. Absolutely.
Come join us.
Yeah, we got ginger biscuits as well. Yeah, cool. What I'm going to do now, I've got an interview that was recorded by our roving reporter, Laura Lawrence. It was recorded at the Women in Business Big Show 2023 in Longfield back in August. So that, and she interviewed a lady called Kathy Heyman from Conscious Living. So it's a theme that's coming together here. Mm. Let's hear what Kathy had to say.
Right, I'm here on quite a technology-focused stand. It's one of the few stands with a TV screen. And I'm here with Kathy Heyman, who's one of the founders or the founder of Conscious Living. So, Kathy, what is Conscious Living all about?
Okay, so my business partner and I, Amanda, we are both coaches, historically. And about 15 months ago, we decided to get together and start a new business. And we've in the process of creating an app which is going to be really to help people develop their own self-awareness and understand that there are different perspectives and choices, get people out of overwhelm, deal with their anxiety, all of that kind of stuff.
Do you, I mean, you've launched quite recently. It's sort of almost coming out of the COVID time. I mean, I hate using the C word, but, you know, that's how a lot of new businesses have started. Yeah. What compelled you then to start this up?
So both Amanda and I have been coaches for a while, and we love coaching. But what we realised was that coaching is not accessible to everybody, and from our perspective we can only coach one person at a time, and we've seen so much, and I think COVID really did bring this to the fore, is the fact that, you know, people were struggling with the changes in their life, they were struggling with anxiety and overwhelm and all of that, and we just thought, you know, it'd be great to have access to more people, and the way to do that in the times that we live is via an app.
So this is sort of like, you're the first company that I've spoken to today who's developing an app for their business. Yeah. And obviously it's going to be one of those things that more and more down the line as sort of future progresses, unless technology completely changes and we go back to, you know, sort of like old fashioned stuff. Yeah. That more and more businesses are going to start to have to think about. So what did you do to start that development process?
Oh, okay. So I'll give you the honest answer. We decided we could do it ourselves. So we went and signed up with an app development platform that basically said you can do this yourself. And after a few months we were like, we can't do this ourselves. We absolutely can't. Because we've got such a very clear vision for what we want to achieve, and there are many different aspects to the app, the functionality of the technology was really important to us, and it's not our background. You know, we can create the content all day long, but in terms of the technology behind it, we realised that we would bitten off more than we could chew. So we've now working with a company who are a marketing company. They're doing all of our marketing for us, and they are building the app from the technical side. So it kind of, going down that route kind of delayed our journey a little bit, but we're actually really pleased that we've got to where we've got to, and of course we believe that everything happens when it should. So
absolutely. Now, the sort of people who you are focusing this app at, what does your ideal customer look like?
Okay, so basically it's anybody who is looking to make change in their life. So people that are, you know, maybe in a job they don't want to be in anymore and they don't know what to do, or they want to start their own business, or their relationships are not good, or they, you know, they're overwhelmed with life, they're stuck, they're disillusioned. So it's that kind of thing, really, to help people to develop that self-awareness so that they understand they do have choices.
And even though you're developing this app that's obviously going to enable you to reach out to a far wider client base, are you going to move away yourselves from the face-to-face coaching, or is that still going to be a part of what you offer?
It's still part of what we offer, because people come to us. So if somebody comes and they want face-to-face coaching, we can do it. It's absolutely fine. The focus at the moment is the app, but we will offer one-to-one coaching via the app as time goes by. So we're not actively looking for new one-to-one clients at the moment. People come to us, we take them on, but the app is our main focus.
And how can people find the app?
So our website is consciousliving.app, and you can go on there and there's the link and the QR code and whatever to find it in the stores, which hopefully it will be in the stores in the next couple of weeks.
Brilliant. And so, yeah, your go live date then, what is the actual go live date?
We don't have a go live date because we've had two previously and we haven't hit them, so we're not giving one. We're just like, no, it's got to be right. You know, we want the app to be ready to go and working properly. So in the next month.
Well, that's it. No, I think it's absolutely brilliant. And sort of just using technology in a way that I've not seen other coaches do is a really interesting journey to be taking. So I wish you every success with your launch.
Kathy Hayward there from the Women in Business Big Show talking about curious living. We were chatting away in the studio here about all kinds of things, and we're still getting tweets coming in about the conversations we have with Chinwe and with Rai, and with Gemma, of course. I'll read some more tweets in a minute, but we're almost at the end of the show, and I've got a few things to cover. We've got a coffee morning at Kenwood Trust. It's a monthly event. And it's the last Thursday of each month, so the next one's on the 28th of September. There's cakes and savouries available. It's 10:30 till 3 p.m. You no need to book. You can just turn up at the cafe at Kenwood Trust, and that's in Kenwood Road, Yalding, which is just outside Maidstone. So 28th of September, if you want cake and coffee and to donate the money from that to a good cause, do join us at the Kenwood Coffee Morning.
Oh, this one's quite interesting for me.
Yeah.
My neck of the woods, like properly my neck of the woods.
Okie doke.
So entrepreneur Rich Martin, don't know if he's Rich, is that his name? Rich,
yeah?
Not Rich, not Martin who's Rich.
No.
All right, just check him. So Rich is toasting the launch of his latest venture. 36-year-old businessman has come up with his own brew, which he'll be serving up at his inflatable pub. How interesting.
Yeah, a blow-up pub.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Thirsty villagers in All Hallows near Rochester were left high and dry when their only pub... Yeah, it's a bit like that out that way.
Yeah.
Their only pub, the British Pilot, closed down during lockdown. So Rich came up with the novel idea of a blow-up pub where they can have a pint close to home at the recreation ground where he opens up every Friday night. So that's really seized an opportunity out of...
You can't tell from that, but he literally does have an inflatable pub.
That's ingenious.
Yes.
Not that far from. I'm going to have to go.
You've got to go, haven't you? Just to
creativity.
See it. Yeah.
That's creativity to another level.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. There's a startup session with GeoBrand. This is organised by the Business Terrace, the Maidstone Business Terrace. And there's a brand new cohort due to start in autumn. There's four sessions designed to develop your startup business into a powerful and sustainable brand identity. The Geo team will guide you through the key stages of launching a powerful and sustainable brand and a digital presence. It's a free workshop. It's fortnightly because there's four sessions spread over a couple of months, starting on October the 19th at 10 a.m. and it's taking place at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. As always, the details are kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Right, I've got my last one now. So we've got a new adventure centre giving children the plans to play at being grown-ups. Little do they know that we don't even know what being grown-ups is.
No. can't someone launch something for grown-ups being children?
Yeah. Anyway, that's opened up in a long empty unit in a town centre. So Little Land has started welcoming customers at the site in Parkmore Shopping Precinct in Ashford. Well, we're in Ashford at the moment, aren't we?
Hmm.
Which was previously an Adams and a Christmas pop-up shop. The owners, Natasha Miller and Susie Winchester, decided to leave their teacher jobs. Oh, a bit of a thing. All these professionals leaving their professional jobs at Bradbourne Primary School to take on the new venture together. The pair say role-playing is important to children, which it certainly is, and they're learning, and they're excited to bring something different to town. So if you have little ones, take them to Little Land in Ashford, in the Parkmore Shopping Precinct.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, and they say, Hi, Paul, please, can you give a Business Bunker shout-out to a very busy Chamber team? Yes, indeed I can. That's the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, of which I'm a proud member. So keep up the good work. I've also had a tweet from DG East, a vehicle services company. They say, hi, please can you give a business monk a shout out to a very frustrated vehicle supplier still waiting for vehicles to arrive for our customers. There's a massive shortage in semiconductors, and as most people know now, cars are computers with tires. So getting a new car delivered is almost impossible because of the semiconductor shortage. So that's DG East, very frustrated there with being able to supply to their customers. Sorry to hear that. Right, we've got 3 minutes left of the show, and I've got to rush through a couple of things. You haven't got anything left, have you?
No.
I've got a couple of things that I need to read. In line with talking with Chinwe and Rye about this, almost 500,000 new startups have already been launched this year and registered with Companies House, new figures show, suggesting that the cost of living crisis hasn't diminished entrepreneurship in the UK. Yeah. 463,700 businesses were registered between January and mid-July 2023, according to the latest figures available from the small business support platform and membership organisation Enterprise Nation. 784,762 businesses were registered at Companies House in 2022, almost 30,000 more than in 2021, and 114,000 more than recorded during the pre-pandemic era of 2019. Yeah. Of course, we lose a lot of businesses as well for all kinds of reasons. Yeah. So, but I think we're ahead of the game. I think we're creating more businesses than are closing. I happen to know, because I'm a bit of a stat wonk and I've stolen your one, that do you know there are 17.2 million women in the workforce?
Oh, yeah.
It's something I needed to tell you.
15.6.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
You have to get your facts right, Paul. Oh. It goes with a job.
I was just checking if you were listening.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough.
As I told you earlier, there are 15.6 million women in the workforce. There are 5.7 million businesses in the UK. 99.7% of them employ less than 10 people. They are small businesses, and 40% of those only employ one person, the owner of the business. We are a small business nation. Our entire economy rests on small businesses. You wouldn't believe it talking to the government, but that is the case. But hey, we've reached the end of another show.
I know.
We could talk for hours about some of these things, and we have had two fantastic guests. I want to say a massive thank you to my co-host, lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. To the my guest Chinwe Ude, thank you so much.
The
brains, the talent, the skill behind Health Mary, do check that out. To the wonderful Rye Ude, thank you so much.
Rye Data.
Are you just testing again?
We're just testing. You're mixing them up.
You just said Rye Ude.
I thought I said Rye Duto, but maybe I didn't. Sorry, Rye Duto. The 5% entrepreneur and marsupial botherer. No. I made that bit up. No. Thank you so much. It was a fantastic conversation that we had.
My pleasure.
About everything from all of you. We're going to get you back at some time and talk more about this, because they're big subjects and we've got to talk about lots of things there. But thank you for joining the show this week. Thank you for the biscuits.
thank you to the listeners.
I didn't eat any, Amanda.
I'm going to tell Amanda I didn't eat any.
Gemma can confirm that. Yeah.
You ate them all.
No, I didn't. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a safe week, everybody, and stay happy. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Thanks.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.